Hey guys, it's Steph Lynette from City of the Week, and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening to this intro before the intro of our Today's Boondoggle radio show. As you know, we're a veteran-owned and operated podcast, and this has been an incredibly therapeutic journey for me as a veteran that struggles with PTSD and anxiety, just getting out and talking to people. But it does cost us some money, so if you feel so obliged to donate to our GoFundMe, we have a GoFundMe under Today's Boondoggle. We also have a Venmo at Today's Boondoggle that you can donate to. Our anchor sponsorship at anchor.fm/Today's Boondoggle. Any questions, comments, suggestions, complaints, you can email us at todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. And please follow us on our social media sites at Today's Boondoggle on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all your social media platforms, as well as our YouTube channel, our Rumble channel, and our BitChute channel. Please follow, subscribe, comment, and download. And please consider checking out our sponsors. If you support our sponsor, Dream Nutrition, you can receive 10% off your order by using the promo code BOONDOG10 at checkout. So Dream Nutrition, they're a veteran-owned and operated company as well. So please support them and receive 10% off using the promo code BOONDOG10. Thanks for your time and thanks for listening.
Listen up! Hold on to your seats! Grab your girls! Grab your beers!
What's going on? It's Tommy Beck, and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
This is Mark Metcalf, and you are listening to Today's Boondoggle with Bailey on Domain Cleveland Radio.
You are listening to Today's Boondoggle with Bailey on Domain Cleveland Radio. Yes, Cato Kalen listens to this all the time.
I am Monty Heath,
so one Heath,
and you are listening to Today's Boondoggle.
Hey, what's up? It's John from Skillet, and you are listening to Today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio.
What's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with Today's Boondoggle. And real quick housekeeping note, if you're watching us on YouTube or Rumble or BitChute, please hit that follow and subscribe button. And also, if you're listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever podcast platform, we're on all of them, please hit that subscribe button. So we can continue to bring you interviews and conversations like the one we're about to have right now with Ilana of the band Motive Black. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you today?
Good, good. So usually when I have somebody on for the first time, I like to go a little, get a little bit of a background and stuff. So originally, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted originally to be a vet, but that just didn't happen for me. I went to school for theater. So I did theater in New York for a while before getting back into doing music.
Oh, okay, cool. And then like, what was it about, or do you remember like when, like, you know, like age and like what music kind of caught your attention and attracted you to be a fan of music?
I really liked, my parents were into Jethro Tull, so I was really into that for a bit. And then the Jagged Little Pill album is what got me into wanting to kind of make my own music when I was younger. And I guess like that fell away as I got a bit older. I went to school for musical theater, and then I went back to making my own stuff.
Nice, nice. It would be a great, I'd like to see that combination, you and Alanis Morissette, you know?
I mean, that would, what dreams are made of.
But, so like, what kind of like, because you said you've done theater and stuff, but what attracted you then to like singing and vocals?
When I grew up, my dad had a nightclub in Manhattan. And on Thursdays, they had like this rock singer-songwriter night. And he used to let me come in. I was like a little kid. And I just was like so enamored by these people that were like just creating their own thing. There'd be like mistakes, but it was so emotive. And it made me want to be part of that club, you know?
Nice. And then like growing up and like even before like you went to the art schools and stuff like that, what was were you in like high school with some of your friends kind of getting together doing music, or was it a thing then too?
I recorded a few metal songs when I was in my senior year of high school right before college. And I had this teacher named Melissa Cross. She's pretty well known for teaching.
Oh, yeah. Screen.
Yeah. I grew up with her. She's like an aunt. And
oh, awesome.
So she and I started writing music together and I recorded a bunch of stuff. But then like it was time to make college decisions. And I was like, oh, got to go to school.
Yeah. And then but I mean, obviously your heart wanted to get back into music and pulled you back in. What was the scene like? Because you're originally in New York, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what was that scene like trying to, you know, play out and stuff for you?
We played a lot in like the East Village and dive bars. It was more of like a rock band. It was really cool, actually. There's so many artists and there's so many talented people in New York. So it was really cool. It's a little bit harder to break in there, though. I feel like when I moved out to Los Angeles, I made a lot of connections a lot faster and was given opportunities a lot faster. I feel like in New York, I was maybe a little stagnant, but I just loved it. Like I had a band that I loved. I loved the East Village in general. That's where we found ourselves the most.
And then, so then you decided to make the move to LA. And yeah. I read that you even got to do a open mic at the infamous Viper Room. What was that like?
Yeah, so I came out to LA because of Warped Tour. I did this thing called Shearer Girl Stage. I did a few shows and I just decided to stay out here after that. And I didn't really know a lot of people. So I started doing the open mic at the Viper Room. It's like a jam and it's like all these different musicians and they assign you a song a few days before and you just like play cold with each other. It was really cool. And I'd always like the Viper Room was like iconic. So I was pretty stoked to be there. I think the first year I was here, I was there like every Monday for the jams.
Oh, nice. And then obviously that helped with networking and.
Yeah. Yeah. Even now, like my closest friends here are all people that I've met from the Viper Room jam.
Nice. And then through that networking, then you were able to kind of start putting together this current project, Motive Black.
Yeah, so I came out here to work with some new producers to like kind of see what I like the next level I could bring my music to. And I really loved working with one. His name was Nick Rowe. He actually produced all the songs I have out right now. And I kind of like bothered him until he agreed to do an album with me. And then I, right before COVID, we were playing with a bunch of people that I had met via Viper Room.
Nice. And then, like, what is the... you know, I'm always kind of like curious about names and stuff like that. So how did the name Motive Black come to be and what's inspiration behind that?
So I guess like the first six songs all had all these like dark undertones and because like, we came up with the name when I finished the EP, which now is instead of being an EP, now it's going to be a full length record. And I was actually, I was on the phone with a bunch of people and I think actually, Dave Buckner came up with like, threw it out there. He's like, what about like Motive Black? And I was like, that's a sick name. And it kind of like worked with all of the stuff we had going on about dealing with a lot of people that have bad intentions and the dark undertone that kind of goes through the whole album. And so that's how the name came to be. It was super hard to think of names now, especially with the internet, like everything you think of, you type in and there's like six bands and you're like, what?
Yeah, exactly. And which one's trademarked yet or,
yeah. You know.
Legally owned, but that's awesome that Buckner came up with that. I've had him on before. He's a friend, good dude. And then so you kind of explained a little bit about the how the undertone of the music was, like, you know, and how that name kind of came out of that. But like, what's been some of your inspirations for this writing?
I think the entire album is all, I went through a pretty extreme transformation. It's about evolving, and sometimes that's really messy and not very nice and dark. And sometimes it's like kind of exciting and manic and crazy. So that's sort of the through line of the album, is kind of going through this like wild ride of finding yourself after sort of tragic things happen.
And then it becomes like kind of like a, you know, a form of therapy to get it out, write it and scream it and just get it out. So who's been instrumental in helping you do all this?
Definitely. I co-wrote the album with Nick Rowe, and he really found ways to get a lot of stuff out of me. But also, I think I was just ready to, like, I was ready for big changes. I was ready for, like, to do something that I was proud of, and ready also to not be, like, shy and keep everything, I think, sort of inside, you know? I've always been, like, a very laid-back person, but I've always been very into, like, aggressive music, and I think that that's sort of how I play out my emotions.
Yeah, you know, it's funny too, because like I got two daughters and they're both very different personalities. And my oldest wants to, you know, be in music and does theater and all that stuff too. And my youngest, you know, has a lot to say, but likes to keep things bottled up, you know, mm-hmm. And I've been trying to tell her it's healthier to get it out and express yourself. And, you know, because, you know, things can manifest that we keep in, you know, either through like, even physically through our bodies, you know.
Totally.
And it's like, it's, you got to get the stuff out. And I like that, you know, one of your inspirations was, you know, like you mentioned Alanis Morissette, because I mean, that whole album is just her getting a lot out, you know, and you feel it as you go through that journey with her, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And then, so you talk about working with, Nick Rowe on this, and, you know, and speaking of like kind of what we were just talking about, you know, the one song that, really caught my attention in the video was your song Broken. Mm-hmm. And you want to share a little bit about the inspiration or message behind that?
Broken is actually, so it's sort of about kind of what we're talking about. Like when you build up all of these walls to protect yourself, and then you're kind of just living, you're not thriving, you're not letting people in to know you, you know, you're sort of just almost like you're functioning, but you're like a shell of yourself. Broken is about letting someone kind of break in there. And even if what they find is messy, and you sort of have to take the risk and be willing to feel a lot of things, even negative things, so that you can also feel really amazing things.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that too. Cause, you know, I'm in recovery one thing that I've learned with my healing and my journey along the way is when I've been able to be the most vulnerable is when, you know, the healing started, you know, it's like, cause you know, we fight with these walls and all this armor around, you know, our heart or whatever. And just like, it's better if I numb and I don't feel anything, you know, or especially like, you know, it feels like sometimes for guys, it's like we can't show emotion and stuff. And then it was like, when I finally just reached that point in my life where enough was enough. And I, you know, gave up on the drinking and the drugs and was willing to be vulnerable about why I was numbing, you know, what I was trying to hide from. That's when so much healing started. And that's why I love music so much. When artists go through these things and express themselves, it's like, it gets out and it's a, you know, there's going to be so many people that listen to this that probably find some healing and go along the journey with you because you're being raw and real.
Yeah. You know? And I think that that's like, what it is, like you get to the point where you're like, I can't keep going like this. And it sort of like forces you to release. And then I haven't met anyone that really had a bad outcome. I mean, it can be a rough road to be vulnerable and release what's going on inside of you and find a new way to live and find a new kind of relearn yourself. But I think it's messy, but it's really cathartic and you really become a more full person.
For sure. And then, you know, I mean, it's also important to make sure that, because sometimes there will be people around that maybe aren't the best for you to be open with, that can use that, against you, which makes it tough. So it's like always, you know, important to find that place where, you know, you can do that. And that's what, like, the rooms of recovery has been amazing for me with some of the people I met.
I think that's super important when you realize, like, it's also another hard thing. Like, when you realize the people around you probably aren't creating, like, growth in you, you know, they're not allowing you to be who you want to be. And that can be scary because the people you're around are usually, like, you've cultivated relationships. It's scary to have to, like, find a new outlet of people, but I think it's all worth it.
Yeah, exactly. Because sometimes, like, you know, maybe you're easier to control and manipulate when you kept everything inside. And some of those people like aren't always on your team. They're there, but, you know, it's just, I mean, something, lessons in life. And, you know, I try and explain that to my daughters too, you know. I mean, it's like they're going to have to learn themselves. We all have to go through our own journeys and stuff. But, you know, a lot of times I like to think, well, okay, I went through a lot of this. How can I help others now? So they don't have to, it doesn't have to be as rough for them, you know? But what I really liked about that video too, is like, it reminded me of like old school, like Quiet Riot, Mental Health.
That was the inspiration.
Yeah. I mean, the whole, and like a cross between that and like Hannibal Lecter, Silence of the Lambs or something, you know, with the whole getup. But talk a little bit about that then.
So the director's name was Dale, and he goes by Rage, and we got together a few times in LA just to talk about what we were into. We both really liked the Quiet Riot video, and I told him that, like, there's like a lot of feelings of restraint, like feel like you're like stuck and you need to like break out. And then he was like, it's a perfect connection with that video. And we sort of played on that and riffed on that.
Oh yeah. It was amazing. I loved it. And then working on this, well, now it's going to be a full length album, but you've got to work with some really established artists as well on this. Yeah. You got to work with Ray from Korn.
Yeah.
How did that come together for you?
So I actually met my producer through Josh Wilbur, who mixes, he mixed my whole album, and he was working with Korn at the time. And he played Ray the music, and, you know, we were wanted to bring it to that next level. I really wanted some like really heavy, amazing drums. He plays on 6 songs. So this is when we were still doing the EP, and he heard it and it was really awesome. He came in, he did it in like 2 days. It was crazy to watch him. And then I actually got to go to a Korn concert. I was in New York same time as him, Korn and Alice in Chains. And I got to take my brother, and he took us like backstage, and we got to watch the whole show from there. It was awesome. He made it a really, like, he's a great guy, super talented, super giving to other artists.
Yeah, I've heard that. That's great. And then also you got to work with Marcos from POD.
Yeah.
How did that come together for you?
So Marcos is friends with my manager, and the same sort of thing. They were talking and they're like, he said he had this girl who's working on some new music, and he played him the music, and he was super down to like lay some guitar on Broken. So he came in after we did the song and just like played a bit, and really both of them, Ray and Marcos, really like added and made it. Cause when there's just two people working on everything, you kind of get stuck in some ways, like the way you two think. And then someone comes in and shows you like a new little thing you can do. And it's really, really opens up the song and is really fun.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like, I hate to keep bringing things back to my own personal thing with recovery or whatever, but it's like, you know, when you're stuck on a certain mindset, and that's why it helps to have others come in with a different set of eyes to help you see things that maybe, you know, you're not seeing, and then it can grow and become so much more.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, now you mentioned your manager. I forgot. Is it Renee?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. He's the one that put you on my radar too. He is an awesome dude. I love that guy.
Yeah.
I call him the Kevin Bacon of music because he's like,
he knows everybody.
Yeah. I forgot that he was your manager. Great dude, man. And, and then I was going through like your videos and down the Mode of Black rabbit hole, I seen another awesome pairing that I thought was with you and Carla Harvey from Butcher Babies.
Yeah.
How did that come together for you?
I think Renee was at like a dinner with her and we had just finished Lift Me Up. And the same thing, like I was like happy with the song, but I was like, oh, I could just use something else. Like it would be fun to do some sort of a, like have a feature or have someone come in, you know? And he talked to her and she loved the song and she was going to be in LA. And it got delayed a couple times because first I got COVID and then she got COVID and then like, it was a mess. But she recorded her part in Chicago. And then the first time we actually met, we had talked on the phone a bunch, was for the music video. And she was she's just lovely. Like she was so nice, so supportive. Cool too. Like I was like, she's like kick ass.
Hey baby, this is Double D, also known as Dream Daddy. And I gotta tell y'all something about our new sponsorship here at today's Boondoggle. And the name is Dream Nutrition. So if you're looking to empower your human vitality, well then you come to the right place. With over 12 years of combined experience in cannabinoids and terpene products, Dream Nutrition products include CBD oils, patches, proteins, and so much more. The endocannabinoid system is believed to have involvement in regulating physiological and cognitive processes, including the immune system, appetite, pain sensation, mood, memory, and in mediating the pharmacological effects of cannabis. Support this veteran-owned and operated company today, and today's Boondoggle fans will receive 10% off their orders when using the promo code BOONDOG10 at checkout. That's BOONDOG10 at checkout. So go to the link. That's dreamnutrition.com/discount/boondog10. And remember, dream is not spelled like Dream Daddy. It's spelled D-R-E-E-M. And start saving today because you deserve to feel your best. And you know that's right. So tell them Dream Daddy and your brand from today's Boondog sent you.
Yeah, and speaking of kick-ass, I mean, that video was pretty kick-ass. You guys were smashing dudes in it. I loved it.
Yeah.
What was like, I mean, who came up with that concept for the music video?
Renee, Rage, and I were all talking about how to make this video like a little bit lighter, but still like more fun, you know? And we came up with this. At first, it was going to be a little more like night out, like messing with people. And then we were like, no, it should be like almost like slightly campy, like with like, cause it's very,
it's like Kill Bill or something.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. yeah. Cause like that song is more about like using, like you only need yourself, right? Or you need to be strong in yourself before you can do anything else. And so it sort of worked. It kind of was like a fun way to, instead of the song having to be this like deep, like video, it was this like fun new thing. I've never done anything like it, so I was excited. It was just a really fun
it was a fun watch. I definitely want to share that one with my daughters. I always love when women are kicking ass out there, so it's a great example of it. So the EP's becoming an album. Do you guys have a release date set?
The album is coming out at some point in February, the full album, I think mid-February, but our next single is coming out November 25th.
November 25th, and which one would that be?
It's called Auburn. It's actually the title track for the album. So the whole album is called Auburn, and this is Auburn.
Okay, and what's the kind of like the message with this song?
This one's a pretty, like, it's the most important song I think I've written. It's about, so my sister passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because of drug addiction. And it's sort of about that. Well, it is about that, but it's more about kind of the anger you feel of everything they're not going to do, you know?
Yeah.
Gotcha. So their video already made for it as well? And
so we did a lyric video, but there's a lot of, I'd say it's like a lyric video plus, because there's a lot of footage. Like, we used photos and there's some video footage in it. So it's like it's not a music video. It's definitely a lyric video, but it's super emotive. I'm super proud of it. It was not very easy to put together.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It sounds like such a, very personal subject and raw message that definitely part of another one of the, what we go back to talking about, like, therapy to get it out.
Yeah.
You'd want it. I'm sure it has to be done right. So if it ever becomes anything more than a lyric video, sure, you're going to want to.
Yeah, I would love to do a music video for it at some point. But it was also, it was an interesting, I was almost hesitant to even release the song, because you kind of, like, I had to play it for my parents and my brother, and I showed them the lyric video. They were all very aware of all of it, because I didn't want to do anything that would make anybody feel like I had to do for my own something, but I wanted everyone to feel like proud and supportive of it, sort of.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be, very touchy subject for some family members and stuff like that to kind of walk through. But if it brings healing to everybody,
And I think it definitely does. I mean, you have to go back and deal with things you didn't deal with when you're even just prepping the song for release. You're like inundated with all of this stuff that you're like, oh, I thought I just wrote it, and then I don't have to think about it anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, you got to feel it when you're saying it,
Yeah.
And as hard as a lot of that stuff is, the most raw stuff is what's going to catch the audience too, the fans that, because, one thing I've learned in my journey is like, I'm not unique. So many others have gone through or are going through something that I've already been through. So now what I try and do is just, like I said, try and be there to kind of, hey, when I didn't have these tools when I was going through it, but here's some of the tools I have now, how can I walk alongside you, or just be in here and listen,
Yeah. I mean, I think it's always just great to try to be of service in some way. And if this is the way I do it, then that's great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to hearing this one when it comes out, because, I've been through a lot of similar losses myself. And, it's kind of how I become friends with some people that we've already mentioned on here,
Yeah.
And, it's a tribe to walk with,
Yeah. I think it's also like that subject in general. So many people are affected by it, but it's still like taboo, in a way. It's becoming more talked about, but it's not given, I think, the tenderness and the love that I think people, like, it should be sometimes.
So I agree.
I think just it being talked about more and written about more. I mean, it's written about all the time in songs, but actually, like, specifically spoken about, I think that's important.
Yes, very, very much. I definitely agree. It's like some things get, like, I don't know, glossed over, like mental health too is something else that, I think we could do more by, talk about and, provide places for people to be like, hey man, I'm really struggling with this, instead of putting on this, like you said, that fake armor all that we put on through life. Cause how many people, suffer in silence, and then we end up losing too, because they don't feel they can come out and talk about
it. And there's so much shame associated with something that there shouldn't, in my opinion, there shouldn't be. So
I saw a lot of that during my time in the military too. It's like, I also have PTSD and anxiety issues from my time. And, I mean, I know that was kind of like an underlying root of why I would numb, with alcohol and drugs and stuff. And in that culture, it's just like, well, throw some dirt on it, we gotta, and I get it, there's a mission that needs to be done and stuff. But at the same time, it's like, we gotta take the time to process and focus, or, we set especially our military community, we set them up and train them to go off to fight. But when they come home broken, we don't do enough to help fix them. And Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a subject we need to address more as a culture. I think we're headed in the right direction. I don't know.
For sure.
You know, I seems like it's definitely a lot better than the days of, like, you know, my dad was a World War II Marine, and, you know, they didn't have anything for him. He just had to, you know, come home, raise his family, go to work, and eventually I'd feel the brunt of it, you know, and, yeah. You know, but we're definitely headed in a better direction. And I think that's why it's imperative that, like, artists such as yourself are able to, you know, express your raw feelings and pain, because music is a great healer. I strongly believe that, you know.
Yeah, it's something that people can connect to too. It's not so aggressive, and even if you're not quite ready to heal, it's still something that can offer you momentary relief, I think.
Yeah, a little life preserver in the meantime.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
Keep you afloat, you know.
Totally.
And so, like, what, you know, so you're expecting this to drop in February, the rest of the album. What other goals do you have set for this project?
I mean, I want to get on tour. We're trying to figure that out now. We're trying to figure out, hopefully, early fall. We're going to do some shows in LA starting in February. And yeah, I just want to get, like, I want to get out in front of everyone so they can, like, see what this music is. COVID really set us back for a while. We were ready to go right before, and then building it back up has been a little tricky, but yeah. I think everything's going well, and I'm really excited to just get in front of people live and see how that changes the music and how people experience the music.
And so, although, I mean, you know, you've had Ray and Marcos help with the recording and stuff, you have a touring band set?
Yes. So we're working right now. It's pretty set. Everyone's super talented. We had a different group right before COVID. They're all great also, but everything got so, like, dates got all messed up. People had to go back on tour with other bands, but we're looking good right now. And I think hopefully spring, but it's because everything's filling up so fast, I think it'll end up being early fall.
Gotcha. And then for people that are, like, kind of new hearing about you and your projects and stuff like that, and, you know, people from the audience here want to know more and support and, you know, be ready to pick up that album when it comes out, where would you send them?
We're really active on Instagram. So at Motive Black, and then there's motiveblack.com. On Instagram, though, there's a fan link to everything we have.
Okay, great. Now, we're approaching our 30 minutes here, but do you got a couple more minutes for some of the questions I normally ask guests that are on?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So we talked a little bit about some of your musical inspirations, but do you have a top three?
Top three. Definitely love Chris Cornell, Soundgarden. When I was in high school, like, what really got me into listening to heavier music was System of a Down, which I still, like, I've seen them more than any other band I've seen, I think. And then recently I've been really into Rival Sons, which I know these are all very different genres, but I've always been all over the place.
Nice. Yeah, me too. It's like you hear my playlist and you're like, wait, yeah. What? Unless my daughters get a hold of it. They're like, all right, some of that stuff is not really what I usually listen to, but yeah. You know. And then we've been talking kind of about, like, how, you know, certain songs and stuff can help other people that are dealing with things, or, like, motivate people to help give them that life preserver or whatever. Basically, is there a particular song out there that's been like that for you?
I think throughout my life and different times, there's been different songs that have gotten me through. The song that makes me the happiest to listen to isn't a life preserver, but, like, it brings me back to myself, and it's not even that deep. I mean, it's Bungle in the Jungle by Jethro Tull. Always, like, puts me back. It reminds me of my childhood. And then I guess recently someone who's really been super moving is Bishop Briggs. Like, her stuff, when I, like, it's like she kind of gets into your mind and can really say what you think, you know?
Nice. I'll have to check her out. I haven't, not familiar. And then, is there a particular, or what class do you feel should be mandatory before graduating high school today?
I think I would have really benefited a lot more from learning about taxes than I benefited from calculus. And also, but I think even more important than that, there should be some sort of life skills class that should have mental health and how to just, like, I don't think we're really, kids are prepared to just function in society. I think there's no, it's like you go from school to like you're out in the world and no one really prepares you, especially if you don't have like the typical family unit. I feel like a life skills class should be still in schools, but it's not.
Yeah, I agree for sure. And everybody touches on the taxes thing and the finances whenever.
Yeah, that'll mess you up.
Yeah, it will. And then who are three people who've inspired you or you can credit for making you the person you are today?
I would say musically, I'm really inspired by Joan Jett. I think she is like an icon for women and just like doesn't care about restraints. She does what she wants to do and successfully. And then I'd say my grandparents are Holocaust survivors and they passed away, but they were such hard workers and they didn't take no for an answer and they were very successful in the end of their lives. And they're probably my biggest inspiration.
Nice. And then, are there any like causes or organizations that you support and encourage others to check out?
So I am I have a pit bull. I know it seems sort of silly in relation to like mental health and drug addiction, but I think it's just such an easy way to, there's so few, like so many easy things you can do to help with animals. And I try to support a lot of pit bull charities and reintegration. And I feel like certain people, they've been given a bad rap. And
yeah,
I think some people, whoever has had like a little rough go of it, can really relate to them. And I think that that's just something that's not going to maybe change the world, but it's something that will bring joy to a lot of people and joy to them. And so I do a lot of stuff with pit bulls.
Yeah, for sure. Like, my jiu-jitsu trainer has a pit bull and he brings it to the gym a lot and it's the sweetest dog ever, you know, just like,
yeah,
she's a sweetheart and so smart too. He's got her trained, yeah. Like we'll push the door open when it's got to go outside to use the bathroom and stuff like that. And, you know, you hit the button on the drinking fountain, she gets up there and just drinks out of the drinking fountain and everything. And she's awesome.
Mine's not a genius, but she's pretty sweet.
Yeah, well, they know, like, you know, like, I mean, usually I'm getting my ass kicked by my trainer and, like, you know, like, coming at the end of the workout, all covered in sweat, like, almost in, like, the fetal position, like, done. And he'll come over and start licking the sweat off me and everything. Like, just knows, you know, to come and comfort you. And then there's this organization here that for veterans called Wags for Warriors, and they hook up veterans with like service dogs and stuff like that too. Yeah, I got my dog.
I think stuff like that is so important. Like it's not so difficult and it makes a huge difference in somebody's life, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. It's definitely was a game changer for me coming home and getting me out there more. Like this is therapy for me as well, getting out and talking to people on the podcast and getting out of my comfort zone and, you know, so, you know, all the things that we can do to just kind of be better and kind of bring a message to help others as well. You
know? Yeah.
And then, favorite toy as a child.
Favorite toy as a child. Do you remember those? I don't know if it's my favorite, but I remember it the most clear, the creepy crawlers. Do you remember that thing? You like put it in an oven.
The wall?
Oven. It's like an easy bake oven, but you make bugs out of it. You make like these like jelly bugs and everyone burns the hell out of themselves on it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I remember.
And they had a kick-ass commercial that I still remember. But I remember being so excited when I was given a creepy crawler machine because I thought that it meant that I was older because I could bake.
Cook now.
Yeah. I could use an oven now.
Yeah, okay. I remember those. I was thinking of the wall crawler things that you could throw against the wall. They kind of
no, like, those are great too, though. Those were like the dentist, they would give you like stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. And then, yeah, because Dennis probably didn't want to give you the creepy crawler oven bake unless they wanted regular, you know, customers, you know.
No, it was definitely something. It was like Easy Bake Oven. Like kids would just, you'd just burn yourself on it all the time, but it was still fun.
Gotcha. And then any message that you have for our military members that are currently serving overseas?
I respect the military so much, and I wish safety for everyone overseas. And I would like them all to know that they're welcomed here back with open arms. And I wish there were better programs for helping people reintegrate. But I'm so proud of military members, and I'm so proud to be American, and I support them 100%.
Awesome. Well, hey, I appreciate you taking the time to get to know you better, and definitely encourage people to check out some of those music videos that are out now. I'm looking forward to hearing Auburn now too.
Yeah, I'm really excited
when
to release
that drops. And when does that drop again, did you say?
November 25th.
November 25th. All right, yep. Cool. So I'll definitely look forward to hearing that. And man, thank you so much for your time. It's good. Good getting to know you a little bit more.
Thank you so much.
The word out there. And then before I let you go, you mind doing one favor for me?
Go for it.
Mind cutting a promo ID for the show? Just introduce yourself and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
Yep. Hi, I'm Alana Justin from Motive Black, and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
Awesome. Alana, thank you so much for your time. It was great talking with you. I'll have to let Renee know we had a great conversation and we gave him mad props today.
Yeah, awesome.
All right.
So awesome much. Meeting you. Have a good one.
VFW story brought to you by Today's Boondoggle.
I remember we were staying in the motels down there in Little Creek,
watching what they used to do,
and they were all sleeping on the gym floor.
Initiation thing. Yeah.
Well, I saw
that's what they
were still living there.
Yeah.
God bless.
He's still living there.
We come in all refreshed.
I think he's retired. He's retired from our team, but he don't live around here. Where does he live?
He lives off Rocky River. We were doing one of the operations down in Virginia. I think we were getting ready to go over to Honduras.
Yeah.
And he gave us all our shit.
Me and him went over to Mahoney's house.
And we took all our shit. We threw it in a big pile. And we started partying and cooking on volleyball and everything. And meanwhile, they're over there and they're like, show your tent shelter half.
Get
your steaks, put them here. And they're all inventorying all their shit. You know, we're whacking golf balls through windows here.
Because he had a campsite down in the.
We're just looking at them, going, "What is wrong with you people, man? Crazy.
What the hell is that? Where are we at?
Click on the photo.
Oh, Jesus." I'm like trying to read the logo of the freaking jacket.
What is it?
Check that out.
Careful, Mike. Mike might fuck it up.
Oh, he might delete
it. Quarter in the swear jar.
Look at the picture real close.
That's right.
I say cluck.
Oh,
it's only a quarter here. Take a 10.
Yeah. You want a 20?
I didn't know you could buy your way out of this.
Fuck.
We're good, guys.
There's 20.
Is that me?
I knew you were going to say that.
I can see that.
That
one stood right out at me.
Funny, funny.
And thank you for listening to another story time from the VFW Hall, brought to you by Today's Boondoggle.
Thank you for listening once again to today's Boondoggle Radio Show. Please be sure to check out our website, domaincle.com or todaysboondoggle.com for more shows and check out our archives. Follow us on social media at Today's Boondoggle on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter for more information about this podcast. And please support us on www.anchor.fm/todaysboondoggle, as well as on our GoFundMe and Venmo. Be sure to subscribe, comment, download, and listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spreaker, and all the other podcast platforms out there. Please email us with any questions, suggestions, and comments via todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. Leave us some 5-star reviews and help spread the word. Thanks again for listening.
Thank you for tuning into this week's Today's Boondoggle.
Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news and information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for supporting, sharing, and tuning into today's Boondoggle.